inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lay.
I'm having a couple of issues with my rental properties right now, and I want to see if I can turn things around. So on the podcast today, I brought on an expert in property management, Linda Libatori. She has been on the podcast before, and I want to talk with Linda about what's going on and see if she can maybe help me turn things around, see if she can give me some advice. So we're going to take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll talk to Linda.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Hey, Linda, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dan. It's always my pleasure.
Awesome. Well, I just want everyone to know that Linda's company, My Landlord Helper, is a sponsor of the podcast. But I just want everyone to know that this is not an infomercial. Linda is not paying to be on the show today. I wanted to bring Linda on because she's an expert at property management, and I'm having a few issues that I wanted to run by her, and I thought it would be interesting for everybody to listen in on our conversation. So, Linda, so before we get into it, why don't you just quickly tell us what you do? Like, for anyone that isn't aware, like, just quickly tell us about My Landlord Helper.
Well, Dan, we're kind of a niche where we definitely serve, what I'll call your do-it-yourself landlord. We do it nationwide. We try to support them in their, I'll call it management. So while we're interfacing for them with their tenants, we're helping them with collections, mostly with what I'll call kind of the awkwardness of the job. And then they're behind the scenes controlling, you know, their expenses, choosing their vendors. So we're really different than full service, but we get quite an umbrella view of best practices nationwide and how different people and different areas of the country are handling different things. So we love it.
So you are working with a lot of tenants and landlords, and you see what's working and what's not working. And I've got two issues going on right now with my properties, and I'm hoping you can maybe point me in the right direction. So the first one is I have a tenant that has been with me for probably about 3 years. And about a year and a half after they were there, they had some kind of car problems or something came up, and they couldn't pay the full rent on the first. They called my property manager right away, and they said, hey, we're going to be late. Can we pay half of the rent on the first, and we'll pay the other part of the rent when we get paid next? So my landlord, my property manager said, okay, well, we have to charge you a late fee, but that's fine. And the tenant has never been able to catch up. So for a year and a half, they've been late every single month. And every month we charge them a late fee. But they always pay. But what I'm nervous about is that I feel like for now this has become their new normal. And that if anything happens, if they have another car problem, that they're so close to the edge that maybe they're not going to be able to pay. So what do you think, first of all, did I handle this right to begin with? And do you think there's anything I can do differently going forward?
Well, that scenario that you just described, I'm going to call it, it just makes kind of a perfect case study. I think one of the things we didn't say, or I should have said about myself, is I attend probably an irrational amount of RIA meetings per month. And I would say, so I've learned from the experts, and that's you, right? Mm-hmm. All the landlords that are out there, and heard so many different stories like this that helps us not only in our own business, but you know, by listening to other people's pain. So I'd say going to that story, what I would consider best practices is as soon as that first, I'll call it life event occurred, which in this case you said was an automobile bill, I would like to say that the way I would point my tenants is that that is not a landlord issue. Mm-hmm. Like I would be empathetic in my tone. I would say, but unfortunately, that just has no bearing on the rental process. That quite frankly, it is a legal agreement. And I know that can be difficult for everybody to say, but in a management role, and you as, you know, we won't use your case, but let's say for listeners, right, that you want to be sure that you distance yourself from that. So there are charitable organizations, so many, that in fact, that's a website we should mention. We need help paying bills. And that's the full website.
We need help paying bills.com.
Paying bills. Yeah.
Okay.
And what that does is then break that down by state, and then you can get it down to specific county, and it will give you a full list of charitable organizations in your area. So what we would do in that same scenario when they called in, and we're, you know, we love technology, so we go one step further. We'll copy and paste it, get it into a Word document. We'll text it to them, or, you know, make it a PDF and text it to them. And we get them that list ASAP. Those charitable organizations, most often, if there is a true financial hit, and I can't even define that for you because that varies between, you know, some are churches, some are, you know, Catholic charities. So there's a whole slew depending on which area. And you'd be surprised, I am every time, at how much money they'll give out. And, you know, again, I don't know the circumstances. We don't get into the personal, nor do you really want to, I'll say, as the landlord. You just want to know that they can catch up on this rent.
Right.
So if they can get approved, you most often will have to sign something that says you will not evict them for 30 days. So we're pretty tough on that, Dan. We will tell them that unless they have the matching funds, which it sounds like in your scenario they did, let's, for the sake of the mm-hmm. show, we'll say the rent was $1,000, they had $500, and they're in need of
$500. Right.
I'm not going to sign anything until all those funds are here, you know, because again, I'm signing on behalf of a landlord and I can't agree to anything. And in that case, we want a money order, and we always suggest priority mail. You need to get away from that. It's lost in the mail thing. Ask for a priority mail. It's between $3 and $6, very affordable for anybody that's late. And that gives you, I'll call it proof that it's on its way, as well as we ask for a text image of the actual money order.
Right. Okay.
So I'm going to add those elements to it. And then with the charitable organization. So what I would have liked to see that happen in that scenario, Dan, was to remove yourself immediately. Now, the really good news is, I'll say, that you've identified for your audience that it is a big risk, and it's a risk that's with you, you know, 18 months later. And now they can't go to a charitable organization because now it's just, well, I won't say they can't, but they don't have a life incident. Mm-hmm. But as you just said, you've kind of now for the last 12 to 18 months had to live with that, you know, like you're worrying about his next paycheck. And I am
right.
too.
I am right, too, right. Man.
So it's like that should have been nipped right away. You're a success story in the sense that truly, usually for us, I would say it could be the first of one red flag that can lead to another and another. So you've been blessed that you've gone this long and nothing has gone wrong. But I do can appreciate, I'll call it, your worries about it.
So what do you think?
I would have tackled that right on.
What do you think I should have done differently, though? I mean, so obviously, if I had known to have them go to the charitable organization or, you know, go to somewhere to get help, not to take on their problem, like, is there anything else that, or say for right now, is there anything that I can do differently other than maybe encourage them to figure out a way to get caught up?
Right. I'm not a big believer. Well, let's go back to that scenario. So in the case of the charitable organization, the one thing I didn't say that is so important, when you say do differently, I think sometimes as landlords, we get so wrapped up in the human, you know, scenario. And that's important. We have to. We are dealing with people. But the reality is you had an agreement, Dan. Mm-hmm. And if you went to your bank and had the same scenario, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Right. It's very clear cut, and we all know that. You either make the payment or you don't make the payment. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think if that was handled a little bit more like, here's the legal notice, and that's what I failed to mention, yet you have to give out whatever that county's legal notice is, and you're giving it with that list of charities, because those charitable organizations, they have been scammed too many times. They won't even give out those funds without the five-day notice that, you know, I'm sorry, the legal notice that shows whatever amount of days in your county that they have to recover themselves. So they're much more inclined to help them with that notice in hand, and not inclined, probably won't do it without it.
In your experience with all the tenants that you manage, have you ever seen a tenant get caught up without some kind of charitable help?
Very few times.
Okay.
I mean, most recently I actually did, and we often talk about it here with our team, that probably in 2.5 years that some of the team members, some of the newer ones have been here, they have never seen it happen. They were shocked.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
The other issue that I'm having right now isn't with a tenant. It's actually with my property management company. Ironically, the tenant is awesome, but I'm having constant issues with the property management company. So I want to see if Linda can give me some pointers on how to better manage my manager. Before we get into that, I want to thank our sponsor today, Roofstock.com, for making this episode possible. If you're looking to add more rental properties to your portfolio, you know that it's very difficult to find good cash-flowing rental properties right now. All across the country, the inventory is really tight. But there is a brand new way, a brand new source for you to find good cash-flowing rental properties, and that is through Roofstock. What they have is a platform where they list only rental properties for sale. So you can log on their website, you can see the properties they have available, and they crunch all the numbers for you. So you can look at a house, you can see what the cap rate is, you can look at the returns, the monthly cash flow, and you're not limited by where you live. They list properties across 16 different states. They have local property management in place in all the markets that they operate in. It's a real hassle-free way to buy a rental property. It takes about 30 seconds to get signed up. Just go to roofstock.com/rentalincome. That's Roofstock, roofstock.com/rentalincome. And if you use that link, you can get $350 off when you close on your first rental property through Roofstock. Offer valid for a limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. That's roofstock.com/rental income. All right, let me ask you another problem that I'm having. This one is not with a tenant. This is with a property manager. So I've got three different property managers that I work with. Two of them are awesome. I've got no issues with them. They've been great. The third property manager is just horrible. And my tenant pays on time every single month. They always pay right on the first. But the property manager is really bad about paying me. Last month, they actually missed their payment to me. What should I do? Should I just fire this manager altogether?
Well, I have to tell you, Dan, I don't even know what to say to that, but I just have never heard of that. Like, I guess I'm all about process. And do they not have a calendar? Do they not?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Google? I mean, that to me is, yeah, it's definitely a fireable offense. I think the analogy would be if you went to the bank and they may or may not deposit your check today, is that okay with you? Like, or do
right,
you assume
right.
that because you gave it to them, they're going to do it?
Right.
Like, they have to have process. And I think in that particular role, accountability, and that's your funds. And for one thing, you may want to fire them sooner rather than later, especially if they're holding funds, because that would be – I don't know. For me, without a phone call, some kind of explanation, that would be an awful red flag.
Right.
I mean, they may have some financial issues. I don't want to prejudge. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know either, but it makes you wonder, like, are they using that rent money for something else and then paying next month's rent money to pay you? It just the whole thing, just it's There's nothing good that's going to come of this.
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, because we've all been in this business long enough to know that that could be the case. And by all means, I don't know that. But my goodness, I've certainly heard of those stories. And we've all heard of like small boutique real estate agencies where they've kept, you know, security deposit funds, mm-hmm. not kept them, but used them because they were going through their own financial issues. So, yeah, it'd be a big red flag for me.
And then the icing on the cake is they are really bad at communicating. I'll email them. They may not respond to my message, or if they do respond, it could be 4 days later. I mean, they are just the worst company ever. So yeah,
signs of trouble there. That's yeah. what I'd say.
Okay. All right. Well, now before we wrap things up, I wanted to have you kind of give us some websites. You found some really awesome resources that our listeners can use when they're analyzing properties. Would you mind sharing some of these sites that we were talking about earlier?
Sure. We were talking about like a neighborhood scout. The idea behind these websites is they're offering you statistics, I'll say, about the demographics, the schools in the area, the crimes in the area. You could even use something like a rent fax. And again, they just recently changed pricing models, so I don't want to quote if you could do a one and done on a neighborhood or if that's a subscription based. But they'll even give you average rents, which is sometimes difficult for people to find out if they're not sure about an area. There's another one. This I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but netronline.com, and that allows you to drill down, and we'll spell that out: netronline.com. That allows you to drill down by a specific state, then by a specific county, and then get into the actual assessor's office, which would kind of show you who's listed. Let's say, you know, SecurePay One Inc. is listed as the corporation that holds that property. Then you could go, there's another site I didn't mention, but it's SEC States, like SecretarySstates.com. That then allows me to enter in that entity, which then breaks it down to, oh, Linda's listed as the owner. So it gets you all the way down to an actual property. If it is hidden by an LLC, you've now got some information. We mentioned the other one, even the Census Bureau, for that matter. People think that's like, you know, big and unruly, but it's not that hard to get through that page and get you down to a specific, county or town. So you could look up, again, the crime, the statistics, the school districts, how are they rated? And they each kind of offer different links. So I think they're very valuable as well.
Well, I'll go ahead and put links to all those sites on the website. We'll give the address out here in a second. But that site you mentioned, that netron.com, really awesome, because if you don't know your local county's assessor website, it can be hard to find sometimes if you're trying to find tax records. And with that site, you can put in a town and it'll tell you what county it's in and then give you the link right to the tax records. So that is really awesome. Really,
it's definitely helpful because it is. You would think, like, I know how you feel because I've done it. So people listening might be like, oh, no, it's not hard. Oh, it can be.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Some of those addresses can be very difficult at the actual county level.
Yeah. And two other sites, if anyone is researching areas that are really good to check out, every county has what's called a comprehensive plan, which is their plan for growth and investment in the area, basically everything that's going on in the city or the county. And if you Google just the county name followed by comprehensive plan, you can find this document. And it's a huge, you know, hundreds of pages. And that is a really good resource if you're checking out a new area to invest in, or even an area that you're currently investing in, to see what the long-term plan for the county is.
I think that's a great suggestion, too, because some of them even use, I know around our area, I'm just outside the Chicago area, they even use, like, I'll call it kind of trendy words to describe this plan. So if you don't have, like, one consistent way to Google it, like you just said, it can be very difficult to find. So I think that's a great tip, Dan.
And then another site to check out is if you go to local.niche.com, you can get all kinds of demographic information for any area, and it'll give you a grade. If this area is an A+ area or a C area, it'll rate the schools. So that's a really interesting site to check out if you're looking at a new area. And if you want to check out any of the links we talked about, it'll all be on the website at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode149. Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate the advice you gave me, and I appreciate you sharing those resources. If someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to find you online?
Well, we do offer a strategy session, so they could go to mylandlordhelper.com, and then I believe it, and it's /free. And then, they could talk to us about what their current issues are and how they're looking to grow. They can email us, just at info@securepayone, and that's spelled out securepayone.com. Anytime they can just get in contact with us. We're always willing to help if we could.
My Landlord Helper is a great service. I definitely recommend you check it out. And they also offer a free 30-day trial. So if you want to give them a test drive and see how they do, Linda is happy to let you try the service out for 30 days to try it out. Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me, Dan. It's always my pleasure.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.